Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are going to be talking about all kinds of pop culture happenings. There is certainly a lot. But before we get into it, I want to talk about us. I want to talk about myself. I love talking about myself. Let's talk about ourselves and also this amazing episode we just recorded for the Patreon for tiers 2 and 3. It's our Pretty Little Punch Bowl. We did Pretty Little Liars and Taylor Swift, and we just got really into it. It's a really funny episode, and I think you'll all love it. So go check that out. That's our first thing. Shameless plug. All right, next, I want us to talk about what's been going on with us. So Phoebe, I'm ready to hear your fucking takedown of Instagram and their war on privacy. So let's hear it.
Guys, I donated, and this is not me trying to find a reason to plug that I donated to something.
But if the shoe fits.
There was a fundraiser that I saw in someone's story for a local Pittsburgh camp for people with disabilities. And it was World Down Syndrome Day on March 21st. And so I donated to it because I knew the person that had it on their story. And I was feeling generous.
Wow.
Little did I know that it was going to broadcast to every single one of my followers. Not the followers that you interact with the most. Every single follower.
Yeah, I bet some of you listeners had, got notified.
That I had put this fundraiser on my profile. Which by the way, I didn't, not that I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, by the way,
I did not.
I went to your profile to check it out, didn't see it there. So what's up with that?
Wait, well, I didn't take it off either.
Didn't
maybe
see
it's
it
only
on profile.
For like a day.
I'm yeah, just it's kidding. Not there anymore. I'm just kidding. But like it does tell everybody you know. But that's like a good thing, right? It's like a hey, look, I donated, I'm a good Samaritan, and I'm better than you. And what's wrong with that? Why would you be upset about that?
Oh, it's off. It's off because it reached the goal.
Oh, there you go. There yeah. you go. But why would you be upset about that, Phoebe? Everybody just knowing
no,
that
I'm
you're
not.
A little bit better than them. Like, that kind of seems like your whole thing.
It was embarrassing to me that I knew that, like, because it's just like there's so many people that follow you on Instagram from like all
wow. All now we're gonna talk about Phoebe's huge follower list. Jeez, oh man,
just like all
we
stages
get it.
Of
you're
your
a
life.
Public figure.
No, it's just like all. Imagine I put that in my bio. One
public
of these
figure.
Days. So fucking funny. No, I was like thinking of all these people that follow me from like high school, middle school, like all these people, and it's just like they didn't need that notification.
Honestly, all those people probably saw it and were like, yep, Phoebe is still trying to let us know she's better than us. Okay. Virtue signaling. Just kidding. Well, I mean, hey, congrats on being a good person, I guess. You donated your hard-earned coin to somebody else. So that's good for you. I didn't. Good for you. That's why I don't donate. Just kidding, you guys. I donate. Okay, so, well, did you have anything else you wanted to say? Was that the only thing that they're doing, like, their war on privacy? Is just if you're donating, they want everybody to know? Like, well, they're also showing who's liking reels. Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Because
it always, like that either.
It confuses me a little bit because I was watching a reel the other day that like popped up on my Discover page. It was not something I would have like watched, you know what I mean? And I see the three little icons in the upper right hand.
And you think that
corner.
Means they liked that one.
Yeah. And I'm like, no way she liked this video. And then you click on it and it's like, no, do you just want to go watch some videos that they have liked? And it's like, well, hell yeah.
No.
And there are two types of people. Okay. Phoebe saying no is hilarious because Phoebe sends me 15 TikToks a day and then quizzes me on them later. So she's like, well, you didn't watch it. So now you have, oh, it's different. Oh, sorry. It's different.
Well, the reels, I don't like reels on Instagram. Like I don't physically like them. Mm-hmm. And I only ever watch them when I'm in a space where I can't listen to videos with sound on.
I thought you were about to say, and I only ever watch them when I am in them.
No.
Which is also probably true.
No, I love those reels where they're like mixing different percentages of two colors of clay.
Right.
And then they like,
yeah.
Anyway, I love those ones.
I love the sand
the,
ones, you know. Those ones are
I don't
sand
love the
smushing.
Sand ones. I know you like those ones. I like the silicone when they're making like different colors. They'll like put, there's like this big clear thing of silicone, and then they'll put different colored little pieces of silicone in there, and you see what color it's going to be.
Yeah.
I love those. I also love the car simulators where they're like, what, and especially when they all hate Teslas. Like, and this is dating back to like the current, you know, war against Tesla. Uh-huh. I would say that this person who makes these videos, they've just always hated Tesla. And it's like, can this car pass these like 100-foot potholes? Like, and they try all these different cars and they get to a Tesla and they don't even get to, they just like have gravity smash it.
Kind of love that. Anyway, kind of love that.
So like, those are kind of like the reels that I watch.
Okay. That's okay. Wow. I watch a lot of reels about, as I said, the sand I really like. I also like restocking videos. Really into those.
Oh, I like those too.
Love the sounds. But I'm also just like, they make me feel bad about myself sometimes. And sometimes they make me feel better about myself because I watch them and I'm like, well, at least I'm not this girl, you know?
Guys, last Sunday, I cleaned my fridge.
Wow.
Cleaned it. I took everything out.
What possessed you to do that?
All the shelves out. I cleaned it.
Wow.
Just because I was like, wait, that's something an adult would do. So I did it.
Sometimes you have moments
like
that.
I hadn't really gone grocery shopping since I got back from Georgia. Mm-hmm. Like, really gone. So when I came back all with like my actual groceries for the week, I was
like, I have no choice.
I need to clean this out. Yeah. And like, I may as well do the whole thing. I feel like I've really felt like an adult this week. I did. Wow. Changing my sheets today.
Wow.
First time since I moved in. Just kidding.
Oh my God. I was like, okay, Phoebe, I'm going to give you a chance to redact.
I change them every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, I have it marked on my calendar.
Oh,
and I have
wow.
two pairs of sheets. So it works. So that's the key. That makes it so much easier to change your sheets. Yeah. If you have multiple sets, then it's like, I don't have to think about necessarily doing laundry today.
Right.
I just have to take the sheets off the bed and do them.
It's more manageable, 100%.
I also have recently decided that there are certain things that it is better to bulk buy.
Okay.
Which is something that I used to be someone who was like, I don't want to spend $30 on 92 coffee pods.
Yeah.
If I can buy 12 for $5 right now. But if I buy the 92 pack from Target for $30, I don't have to buy it for a couple. And I did the math and it works out. That and like toilet paper and like different things. I feel like it's hard to people when they live alone, they don't want to have to justify buying in bulk. But there are some things that it like any paper products, paper towels.
Well, might I suggest, and this is crazy, but might I suggest you get on a subscribe and save with your coffee?
You know who uses that?
Who?
G Daddy.
You know who else uses it? Me. I love subscribe and save. Here's what's on my subscribe and save. Okay, I'll tell you. Clean towels. Are you familiar with these? They are biodegradable, single use face towels. So you don't need to
I did see those on TikTok.
Yeah, I love them. You don't need to use your disgusting towel that has all your germs, like whatever. God forbid you use a hand towel. Like you just, So it's nice. They're thick and they like feel luxurious, but they're not bad for the environment. And I absolutely love them. So those are on subscribe and save. Next up on my subscribe and save are my Aquaphor hand masks because I do have eczema on my hands and my hands are very dry. And these hand masks are great. I don't use them as much as I need to, though, so I actually can probably skip a few months. But those are like in every other month. But now that we're in the summer, I might not need them as much. And then the other thing that I just recently added was Cherry Coke Celsius, a pack that's only got that flavor in it. Hell yeah, that's on subscribe and save because I fucking love it. But I did find out recently that the Get-Go by my house also carries it. So if I need to like get a single, I can get a Lucy.
Oh, that's
I can.
Good.
But it's on subscribe and save. I really do like it because I don't have to think about it. And then it just comes and there's always a little dopamine hit you get when you have a package delivered. And even better if you forgot about it, you know, and it's like, oh my God, here you are. So I will say you'll save like a few cents if you do that too. And you could try it. But I feel like sometimes you're like,
I wonder
my God,
if I could do that
clear?
With Diet Coke.
You can. You can do it with anything you want, like anything.
I might
on
do
Amazon.
It with that because that's like, I feel like Diet Coke is. And also, I think my Aldi stopped getting Diet Coke.
Really?
In the months that I've been gone. They have. The last
They're like,
couple
the
times
only
there,
person who was buying it hasn't been in here in a while. So we're just guessing it off the list.
Like, they have regular Coke the last couple times I've gone, and then they have, like, their brand of Diet Cola. So.
Yeah, no thanks, you know? No thanks in that. Okay, I have a couple things I've got, stories I gotta tell you about our parents that just had me LOLing this week. I think you're gonna enjoy. The first is, okay, so I was teaching a voice lesson in the studio. And, guys, the studio that I teach in is in my parents' house in the basement. So we can sort of, like, hear everything the other person is doing. By the other person, I mean mom and dad, like, walking around. They are loud walking around up there. The dogs, the TV, and I'm certain that they can hear me and my students singing. So riddle me this. I get into the studio, okay, and mom's laptop is in there. So I was like, okay, she's been in here, but I was, like, getting there right when my student was getting there. I didn't have time to bring her laptop. So I texted her, hey, your laptop is down here. This is the student in here right now. If you want to come down, you can say hi. But the song you're working on was Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, okay? Hard song to teach a kid. But that's the song we're working on. And so we do the lesson, and I had, like, a 15-minute break before my next lesson, and I'm just kind of, like, lounging, chillaxing in the studio. Dad comes down, and he's like, oh, is mom in here? And I was like, no. And he's like, okay. And he leaves. And I was like, wait, I know you just heard me down here singing Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious with a kid. Did you think that was mom? Like, what did you think mom was doing down here that she would have been down here? I know you can hear me. I could hear you. Like, did you think mom was down here taking a voice lesson, singing that song from Mary Poppins? Like, I was baffled. I was like, why in the world would he think mom was down here? That is so funny. Don't you think? You're not even, like, basically, you did your fake laugh.
What did he say?
Nothing. He just came down and asked if mom was in here. No, he was, like, gone before he could even get a word out. He's like, where's mom? You know? He's like, is mom down here? Oh,
well,
no.
Yes. Where's mom?
I was
mom?
Like, no. He goes, are you just chilling? I said, well, I have a student in 3 minutes. So I'm not just, like, chilling. And then he left. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, wait, why in the world? Like, I know mom's computer's down here. But he had to have heard the unmistakable sound of S-U-P-E-R. Like, I know he heard it. So what did you think that was mom? That's so funny to think about. Mom down in the studio. Mary Poppins. And
even,
like, oh,
imagine if it wasn't. Imagine if he wasn't even thinking it was a lesson. Like, mom's been down there doing her, work. And she's been just singing all day.
Did you think she was just, like, having a go on the piano? Like, did you hear the other voice in here singing? Like a first grade sounding kind of voice? Like, did you hear that? Like, I just am confused. So that's the first thing about dad. And then the next hilarious thing I have is that mom and I are having a conversation about Watch What Happens. Because she was like, well, did you watch when Gabby and Dylan and Dorit were on? And I said, yes. And I said, I already know what you're going to say. You didn't like
Mom
Gabby.
Mom hated her hair.
Well, not just, she didn't like how Gabby talked. I was like,
she's never liked Gabby.
I know. And I was like, I knew you weren't going to like it. She's like, she just kept saying pussy. She's kept saying it. I was like, yeah. And she goes, and I think Andy was kind of annoyed. And I was like, well, I don't really. He always seems kind of annoyed. I was like, I don't think he really was. I think he kind of loved it. That she, like, he knew that she was saying some crazy shit on live. And he was like, hell yeah. Like, I think he kind of likes that. And she goes, but I think Dorit was pissed. Dorit, I bet you, thought she was going to be the only one on that show that day. She was not happy she was sharing the stage with two others. And she didn't watch Traitors.
Especially with two others.
I know. Because
normally it's like, there's two of you.
Yeah.
How about what Teddy said on her podcast?
Well,
I sent you that reel.
Yeah, we'll get there. But I have to finish this about mom. So mom goes, but, you know, I don't know. Andy was stoned. And I was like, what? Like, what? And she says, yeah, well, I can always tell when he is stoned. And I was like, oh,
when
you
can?
When
my close personal friend, and you know that there are moms and housewives across the nation who have had that exact same conversation with someone.
I know. She's they like,
feel,
well.
Because there are these moms that really, truly feel like they.
Well, then she got in on the joke.
This best friendship.
She started, because I kind of was
Andy.
Like, I did a little giggle, like, because this is an insane thing for you to be saying right now. So I, like, did a little laugh. And mom was like, well, and you know, because I know him so well. And she was like, kidding. But I was like, yeah, but you really believe that. Like, you really just said to me, you can always tell when Andy Cohen is stoned. And I was like, really? Because I feel like he's usually, like, on coke. And mom was
pretty
like,
on.
Mom goes, no, well, he talks about it. He talks about that he smokes pot. He says he smokes pot every day. I was like, well, there you go. She goes, so I can always tell in his eyes. I can always tell when Andy is stoned. and so mom just said he was stoned that night. That's it. That's all it was.
Maybe that's why he seemed a little annoyed.
Yeah. It was just so funny. I was like, right. Of course, you can always tell when Andy Cohen is high on weed. That's right. Of course. mom is just so goofy. So anyway, that was just, I needed to tell you those two stories. I thought they would be.
Well, we also
funny.
Have to get to the bottom of whether or not dad is watercolor painting.
Yeah, so dad sent a picture of a cardinal and a tree to the family group chat, and mom responds, maybe that will be your first watercolor. And then the group chat was stunned. Everyone was too stunned to
Everybody
speak.
Was silent.
Everyone was like, watercolor?
You know I've been having those mom's just a girl moments. I also have been having those with dad a little bit because, like, Dad's dad and I watch a lot of the same, obviously, television during the day.
Yeah.
And there will be, like, these documentary commercials that play all day, every day in between these shows. And one time, when I was working from home, I had the news on and one of those commercials came on. And he was like, no, but I regret this. I regret how I responded. Because you know how sometimes you, like, you're not empathizing and you're not, like, thinking about him. You're just like, that's your dad.
I do
and
just want to say, like, I have this moment with Phoebe all the time where I'm like, okay, that was not the reaction I wanted. So this is my Phoebe's thing where she's like,
oh my God.
So I kind of love knowing that you had a moment where you're like, I should have responded differently. Maybe one day you'll have that with me. Doubt it. Okay. And yeah, you're saying
dad was like, I've been thinking that would be pretty interesting to watch. That about the documentary, and I was like, really? I talked
like,
badly about the documentary, and like imagining dad watching TV in the background all day, and then being like, oh, I would like to watch that.
It is really cute. It makes
me want to die a little bit, or like thinking about him like liking songs like him finding Turnpike Troubadours, and being like loving them.
No, I know. Phoebe's having that time. By the way, guys, I'm turning 30 soon, and I want to do an episode that's like 30 things I learned by 30, because I think it might be like kind of fun, but I don't know if that should be on Patreon or on streaming. So if you guys are interested in that, but I also was like, I don't want it just to be me. Like, I want things that, because I feel like there are a lot of things that like I had that moment too, and I still deal with it, but like of realizing that your parents are just like people, like they're just people who are figuring it out.
I know you don't know who this TikToker is, but you would recognize her. It's the girl who did the Benson Boone thing.
Okay.
She did this TikTok about, she was like, she's getting older. I don't know how old she is. She's a little older than I am. And she was like, so I wanted to like talk about five things that I've really loved about aging.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things that she said was, I love, it's going to make me cry.
Oh, Jesus. Phoebe got her bleed today.
She was...
All right, I fixed her. I literally fixed her. She's not going to cry anymore.
She was like, I love that when I look in the mirror, I see a little more of one of my parents every day.
Aww.
Like, as I get older, like, as a kid, people used to always tell me I look like my dad, I look like my mom, and I never saw it. And now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to see, like, and what a gift.
I know.
To get to see your parents every day still.
I know. Well, I do see them every
day.
I see my parents every day almost.
Emotional.
So even when I'm not looking in the mirror, but especially when I'm looking in the mirror, because I got mom all over me. I got Georgia all over me.
Did you hear what Kathleen said about our podcast?
I don't know.
She said, I love listening to it because Caroline is just like you, George. And... but then Phoebe comes in with these dry little like responses, and it's like listening to you and Chris.
We're just like mom and dad. Look at that, you guys. This is how we grew up. Just listening to conversations just like this one, just like the one we're having right now. Every hour that you've listened to us converse on the podcast is just, we're just repeating what we heard mom and dad say.
Yeah, we have all the same special interests.
Yeah, exactly. But I do. I think that's sweet. And I've been like keeping a list. Like some of the things will be like sentimental and maybe like tearjerkers, and some of the things will be like just things I've learned that are good things to have learned. And for some reason, like turning 30 feels like such a massive like Like, I feel like there's like half of my life. I know it's not half, but for some reason, I just feel like everyone talks about like getting to your 30s as like this thing. And then
but I think your 20s, you're so feel tumultuous. Like such a mountain to climb.
Yeah.
And also when you turn 20, it is like I think for a minute, you're like, oh, I'm not a teenager anymore. Yeah. You have that moment.
You kind of feel like your life is starting.
But you're still typically in college.
Yeah.
But you're also in like 30 feels, you're kind of out of like having school transitions that feel like the big monumental moments in your life. Whereas like when you're turning from 19 to 20, your life isn't really.
Right.
Not that your life is going to change on April 14th. Like your life is still going to look pretty. But like it feels like that becomes more of the like marker in life rather than like when you graduate high school. I feel like 25 probably feels, not that it's the same, but like we have to come up with different markers.
Yeah, I kind of resent you saying that my life isn't going to change on April 14th because we don't actually know that. I could get discovered. I could literally get discovered.
You could get a call.
I could get discovered. I could get a call from
Moonves.
I could blow the fuck up, okay, on my birthday. It's Monday. It's a business day. So, like, people are working. Anything could happen. So, don't
you
say that.
You're taking the day off, though, I'm sure.
Of course. I'm taking the day off.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, so anything could happen. And so, don't try and, like, limit me like that.
Well, no, I just mean it. You know what I meant.
Yeah. No, I do. And it's true. I think when I was turning, it's more like when I graduated college felt like turning, like, the new chapter. 20. But it feels like your life is starting, you know? Like, it feels like, okay, now I'm going to, like, got to put my money where my mouth is and, like, do everything that I always said I was going to do. And I feel like 30s is when you kind of just get to like settle in. You don't really have to prove it as much. Like you can kind of just,
I know,
like,
that this is a terrible example, but this is the first person that I thought of, and there's so many other ones, but I just saw a tweet.
if you say Elizabeth Finch right now, I can't.
You know, someone worse, and maybe I should look up. Okay, J.K. Rowling didn't get published until she was 31.
We've got a million stories like that. Like Oprah, I think, has like, and yeah, I'm just like all these like, there people, are a million like, stars we could mention. But yeah,
I know,
like,
but, yes, it's inspiring to hear that. I didn't know that she was.
Yeah.
I thought she wrote the book earlier than that.
It's inspiring.
But like, there are these, you don't get like your life. I think that like, and I keep saying this, 30s are the new 20s. So like your life. I think people, because there's also become this recognition that like your 20s are really you just like getting your footing. It's like your toddler years of being an adult.
Yeah, you're just figuring out how to like keep your head up. Like literally, yeah, your toddler years. How do I keep my head up and my balance and like put one foot in front of the other? Like those are all the things you're trying to figure out. How do I like keep myself alive and also try to thrive? And it's like,
yeah,
sometimes you don't get to do both at the same time. Like, but I feel like when you hit your 30s a little bit, at least the way people talk about it, it seems like. I also think what I want to say, when I got married, my therapist was talking about how a lot of people, when they get married, they finally feel like safe and secure. And so oftentimes a lot of shit comes out of the woodwork when you get married, like a lot, or like have that sort of moment of, okay, now I feel like safe. And it's like, oh, I checked that box. I'm here where I'm going to be for hopefully the rest of my life. Now I can address all the things that I have been pushing away. And that happens with a lot of people. Obviously, you don't like really realize it until it happens. But a lot of people will, you know, uncover things about their past, or like if they have some sort of like lurking mental illness, it will start to show itself. And because you feel safe to go through the hard things, like you're not going to lose this person. You're not going to like lose everything you have. Like it doesn't have to define you. And I feel like that similar thing could happen when you turn 30, where it's just like you have the space now to maybe try those things you were scared to do in your 20s because there's so much uncertainty
and you know
in
yourself
your 20s.
Better.
And you know yourself better. You've learned a lot of things, and you've learned that life doesn't end when you turn 30, which is also a huge thing. So I think
our society is doing, and I'm going to talk a little bit about more about stuff like that with my rotation, but our society is, at least portions of it, not all of it, because there's a lot of other stuff going on that I don't love in terms of the way that we talk about our bodies and all this stuff. But I do think that there are certain beloved celebrities who I think are doing a good job of reframing aging.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really exciting. And seeing the way that people are rallying around them through that and being excited to see different kinds of aging in Hollywood is a really positive sign. But I also think even just like influencers, like, I mean, the Jake Shane, that the him talking to Mel Robbins about it, just the way that we frame our 20s is so different than it was when we were younger.
Well, anywho, that episode is probably going to be something that we do. So let us know if you think you'd like to hear it. Maybe it'll be a real episode. Maybe it'll be on Patreon. All right, let's get into the pop culture because there's a lot. I saw Snow White. I'm assuming you haven't seen it yet, but I feel like you will.
No, not yet. I mean, probably.
Here's what I'm going to say.
There's not a ton out right now.
No, there's not. There's a lot of boy movies out.
Which so I'll probably feel like have to go see Snow White. It.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Kelly and I went, and Kelly had an exciting week, and I was like, I'm going to give her a little surprise because she's never gotten to sit in a D-box seat. And I was like, she's gotta. This is the perfect movie.
Imagine Kelly hates it.
She didn't like it. Oh, she didn't like it.
This is the least relaxing thing I've ever done.
She did not care for it. It made her feel sick. And I can relate because I turned mine all the way up. So let's talk about that. So
Caroline really likes to be immersed.
She's been wanting to try.
By the way, yesterday after you had told me that you guys watched Wicked after Frozen, I was talking to Jules and GC about it, and I had this realization mid-conversation that you meant you went to a production of Frozen. But yeah. I, in my head, was like, that makes perfect sense that Kelly, Anthony, and Caroline would sit and watch Frozen followed by Wicked.
No, we went to go see a stage production of Frozen Junior, and then we came home and watched Wicked.
Now, what is Frozen Junior?
It's shorter.
What's different about it?
It's shorter. Okay. It's a quick 60 min.
Well, I was just like, what's inappropriate?
It's a kid's movie. Every show has like a junior version that like schools can do where it's just like less involved. It's shorter.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like that. But actually, I'll tell you that Frozen the Musical is like kind of inappropriate. Like I saw the tour and it has a lot of like, there's a song called Huja and it's where they get the yoo-hoo, big summer blowout. It's that part. But everyone is there, like, in the sauna, and they all are naked. And every single person has, like, a leaf. Like, the women have a leaf over their boobs and over their bottom part. And the men only have a leaf over their dicks. And they do an entire, like, kick line. They all are, like, spread out across the stages.
What?
I believe it is the first number after intermission. And it is literally, like, and they're all dancing and there are parts where they turn to the side and they like, they're all in a line, the guys and girls, and they're naked. Yes. So like that obviously wasn't in Frozen Junior.
That's crazy. I love the song Monster.
Yeah. Monster's obviously, there are a lot of like great additional songs in there. Monster's not in the junior version. Obviously it's like a very hard song to sing.
Why would they keep that in there?
Well, I think Frozen honestly has a lot more adult jokes than we realize. And
yeah, but like that's very overt.
No, I know.
I feel like because
I was shocked.
It's like Lion King. Like if you go to Lion King on Broadway, people are expecting it to be. Yeah. Like, you can take your kids.
Well, and obviously, I literally went with Peyton. Like I was with a child, and it was all like kids. Yeah, but I mean, it's just there. Yeah, there are a lot of lines though that like for like adults were laughing at that kids didn't get. I remember and that, but like in the junior version, obviously there aren't. So. But yeah, there's a whole scene where they're like naked and Jesus I was like, Christ. Oh my God, I was like blown away by it. So anyway, I saw Snow White and Kelly's been wanting to do D-Box, but she like, we go see a lot of like scary movies and we're like, that's not really the vibe for this for her first time being
immersed.
There've
been a lot of scary movies out recently. Yes. I feel like that's all my Letterboxd is right now is scary movies. And I'm like, it's not because it's my favorite. It's just because there's so much
that like is piquing my interest at this time, you know? And so none of those are like going to be the one that we sit in a D-box seat for. So Snow White seemed perfect. So I literally was like, all right, Kelly, surprise time. I'm getting us D-box seats in the big ass theater and we're going to go in and watch Snow White. We were like one of like three people at the show. And it was Thursday.
That's nice.
And it came out on Friday. So I'm not surprised to see that Disney had like a pretty shitty box office weekend for this one. But anyway, we're in there and
When I come home, I want to go see a movie in that.
Okay, let's do it. I turned mine all the way up. Phoebe, this was the most insane D-Box experience I've had. And I think I've had three. And this was
worse
like...
Worse than Wicked?
Yeah. This was like I was on a roller coaster. Because there's the whole... Like when we go through with the seven dwarves into the mine, it's literally like a roller coaster. So like there was that. There were like... I mean, there, Kelly was like, I was getting sick just watching you because she turned hers. I at one point reached over and turned hers up because I was like, maybe she's not experiencing it. I want her to experience it. And then she like turns it down. She's like, stop. Yeah. She like turns it down. I turned mine all the way up because I'm like, if I'm here and I'm doing this, I'm doing it. But I did feel seasick. My stomach was feeling sick, like nauseous.
How do you
but,
like enjoy your snacks and drink?
Well, the other thing is there's no tray. So I like ate my popcorn also, and then I put it down. I was like, I gotta just like
PSA
pee
to
here.
The high schoolers that work at my AMC, thank you guys for being chill. I mean, I wish you guys would amp it up a little bit, but like I've never felt judgment for my order when they realize that I'm there alone.
What I want to say to the people working at my Santa Marcus, like, you can say hi. I know you know
I
me.
I know you recognize me.
I know
me.
You know me. You can say hi.
I was telling Jules and GC about how I went there. I was like explaining certain like things that they're updating in our theater and like certain areas that are under construction. And I was like, one time I walked in and there was a plumber and they're like, did the plumber ask you like where the leak was?
Oh, are you here for the, yeah, let me show you actually. That they're yeah, probably.
I've been calling. About
yeah, it's been me. I don't even know if they know where it is. Let me just follow me. I'm going to show you. yeah, I totally see that for you. All I'm saying is Snow White was a crazy movie to see in D-Box. It was like, my chair was like,
how was the movie?
Zoom, zoom. And Kelly was like, what the fuck? Because she had hers turned like all the way down and mine was all the way up. And so my chair's like, shaking.
Caroline's
chair
like has like a thing that extends and raises her chair up. Like,
I mean,
it's an
it
amusement
might
park
as well
ride.
Have. Starts, like, it literally was like going around in circles. Like it was, I mean, I wasn't turning in circles, but like the chair was like, zoom, like it was crazy. The movie itself. Okay. I didn't know Gal Gadot was like the worst actress ever. But yeah. She is.
And enough champagne to fill the Nile. That's her like line, you know?
Is so bad. Like she is the evil queen and she's gorgeous. But the other thing is her little like, you know how the evil queen wears that like thing over her head and it has
a little
like,
short
widow's
this, right?
Peak.
It doesn't go
it's
down
a, it's
as long.
It's not centered. It's literally not centered on her nose. And I was like, going to have a freaking freak out. I'm like, who? They were like, you know what? We don't want to talk to her. So just let her just keep filming. We don't want to talk to her about like changing it. I don't know. She was so bad. But Rachel Zegler, I mean, yes. Is she just kind of intolerable? Of course. But the bitch can sing. It's giving Kurt saying she's difficult. But the bitch can sing. I mean, I could listen to Rachel Zegler sing all the time.
What I will say about Rachel is like, sure, she has Aria-isms.
Yeah.
But she's not difficult like Rachel Berry difficult.
No. And I mean, I'm just like, it's more
the
so
reason people think she's difficult is just because she's outspoken.
And that's not even why I think she's difficult. Like, I just think she's kind of like pick me vibes every movie I've seen her in. You know, like that's more so what it's just like she has the Aria disease. She can't help it. But the thing is, the other thing that's hard is like, musical theater actors going to the screen, it's always a struggle. It just is. And like, that's what I
and
realized
I think
about
you,
Snow White.
For you especially, because I feel like you feel like it's like your sister or like someone,
I'm like
your
girly.
Friend up there. And you like have to like defend.
Protect.
You feel like you
protect,
are on
course.
The clock for her now.
Of course. what I will say though is that I didn't realize this was like a full-fledged musicale. And the songs were fierce. I don't know if Kelly agreed with me, but we were leaving. I was like Googling during it, like, who the fuck wrote this? Pasek and Paul. And if you don't know, Pasek and Paul wrote Dear Evan Hansen and Greatest Showman. Like, they're like a crazy composer duo. And they write amazing contemporary musical theater pieces. I was like, I was literally looking up the libretto so that I could like add it to my score. Libretto is just the script, right?
Asking the wrong
girl. Somebody will tell me. Anyway, I was like looking at the music book because I was like, all my kids are going to want to sing these songs. And kind of I want to, too. There was such a good song for the Evil Queen. And Gal Gadot just botched it. Freaking botched it. So I think part of it was that I could see the vision.
Sing?
No. I could see the vision here. Also, a lot of good like alto songs. I could see the vision of the music.
Is she an alto? Rachel Zegler?
No. Her songs were not alto songs, but the Evil Queen, yes. And I was like, she had two songs. I was like, I could fucking kill them. But I also want to sing the Snow White songs, but I think they're very high. But anyway, the music was great. Like, I honestly loved it. It had the classic music, of course. Not Someday My Prince Will Come. Of course, but it did have Whistle While We Work and stuff. And
Right, because wait, isn't that where all of the original Rachel Zegler stuff comes from? Is that one interview she did where she was like, this is not.
She was like, fuck the 1937 Snow White. Like, it's so like, they're obsessed with the patriarchy. It's all about like, she does nothing and this prince comes to save her. And she sings the song, Someday My Prince Will Come. And she was talking all about that. And so that's not how this one is. And the story has changed. Like, it's not. I'm pretty sure I went to the bathroom and I'm pretty sure she saves the prince.
Is it darker?
No. It's not dark.
Not but interested.
The dwarfs have been a thing, though, that people were like upset about, I guess, that they didn't cast people who have dwarfism as the dwarves. And someone spoke out who I believe does have dwarfism and was like, honestly, it would be really hard to like cast all of the seven dwarves that like can sing, that look the way you want them to look, that like fit with each other. Like, so this person was like, I think the best way to kind of do that would be doing CGI. But a lot of other people in the dwarfism community were like, well, this is taking jobs from us and you're trying really hard to be woke here. But like, it's actually backfiring because those were opportunities for us. So that was sort of some of the discourse about it. But there was a lot of CGI. The animals were CGI, which is obvious, but they were done to look like Disney animals. And so in that way, I was like, they're not really going for realism, which is why I was
giving
like, maybe
like Enchanted.
Like, yeah, it is very much.
Well, the I animals also feel like they did. They tried to make the dwarves look like the dwarves from the movie.
The original,
you know what
movie.
I mean?
Like, they look like CGI. Yeah.
They CGI'd them to like look like Smurfish kind of.
Yes. Yeah. And honestly, the dwarves had me cracking up. Like, they, I thought, were funny. I was laughing at them. They were like cute. Like, so I don't know. I mean, overall, would I see it again? No, but the music was really good. I just think also part of the reason it didn't do that well is because it's Snow White. It's not one of like the, oh wait, this is what I needed to say though. Okay. They changed like everything about it. Right. And they have her in these garments that are like earth tones, sort of like everyone's sort of in earth tones. And then she goes into the woods and she's wearing the iconic Snow White dress. And I literally was just like, they shouldn't have even had her wear it. Or they should have just done one that's like inspired by it. Because it didn't fit this movie at all. It looked like she was like superimposed with this fucking costume.
I also just feel like if you, and I haven't seen it, but I think that if you're going to change something about this classic story, just write a new story.
Just write a new story.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if like that iconic aspect of it isn't going to work.
Well, it's like they could have done, or they could have just done a Snow White with that dress that was like inspired by it. I mean, it looks like they went to like Spirit Halloween and bought a Snow White costume and put it on her. Like, and it didn't, it, then we've got like all these like very, again, like earth tones and natural elements around her. And she stuck out like a sore fucking thumb, like not in a good way. The dress just, I just didn't think it worked. I'd love to know what you guys thought if you see it. But anyway, that was all I want to say about Snow White. Did you see what Gwyneth Paltrow said about the intimacy coordinators? What is this movie she's doing?
It's Marty something.
With Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, that's why he's had that mustache for so long.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Okay.
And people are really hoping that next year's his Oscar for this.
Yeah, I hope so.
Namely Club Chalamet. She is already campaigning.
Club Chalamet basically is so, the way that people react to her is so fucking
so
funny.
She just tweeted a week or two ago at A24. Please, like, give me XYZ access to the movie or something. I will make it worth your time. She is running this campaign. She's like, we're getting him the Oscar.
Oh,
like, he lost this year.
God.
He's getting the Oscar next. Like, sorry. Sorry, like, I don't think you know who you're dealing with.
She's like, I don't
Academy.
Make the rules, but he's getting the Oscar. I actually do. I was dying at, like, after they announced Best Actor, and it was Adrian Brody, and she tweets, the Academy made their decision, period. Congratulations, Adrian, period. So it was like, Club Chalamet has spoken. Like, it was just like so.
And I loved her picture. She got into some sort of like official watch party for the Oscars. And she posted that picture of her legs crossed in the Oscars in the back. And she goes, let the show begin. Like, she is like, she's fucking Seneca Crane in the like control room in the Hunger Games.
So funny. Like, I just love, I mean, honestly, Club Chalamet, I hope you take it home. Gwyneth Paltrow comes out talking about this, and I guess they're making out and stuff, and she's like, intimacy coordinators, like, that wasn't even a thing. I'm from the era where you just get naked and get in bed and the cameras are rolling. And I'm like, well, that sucks. I just think it's such a, like, you know, and let's not forget about GP, who, like, defended the fuck out of Harvey Weinstein, you know? Like, so she, just because you weren't put in those situations, Gwen, where you felt uncomfortable, doesn't mean that other women weren't. I mean, there are some of our favorite movies, trigger warning, there are some of our favorite movies, like, as a people, that the sex scene in that girl is being raped. Like, that is true, and we know this, and this is out there, and that is why, like, jobs just don't exist for no reason. Like, this job is there because there was a need and there was a demand for it, and it is a relatively new position, and we should be celebrating the progress and how much safer this is going to make movie sets moving forward, because like, there is a need for them 100%. And Gwen, maybe it would be nice for you to think, like, I would love for the young actors who come after me to have better protection than I did. Why are you not fighting for that? Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me, you know? And for all we know, yeah, Timothy Chalamet was thrilled that intimacy coordinator was on set, you know? Like, but it's just how lucky you are that you don't see a need for them, you know? That's a very,
and it's just a little privileged bit, like,
viewpoint on that.
You don't have to. Just, like, you don't have to say anything.
You don't if sound you don't, cool. It's so, it, like, pick me, you know? Like, yeah, oh, like, I don't need that. Oh, my God. Like, it's just, okay. Well, you know what, Gwenny? This pretty much is in line with everything I know about you. So, there we go. Will you please talk to me about this base bag claw machine and the controversy? Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Well, I didn't see controversy.
Well, that I just is saw the I videos
from the weekend.
That is what I wanted you to look up.
Wait, but I looked in. I Googled it. I didn't see any controversy.
Well, there was controversy.
I just thought you wanted me to see what it was. No. Which is what I did.
There is controversy. So I'll talk about the controversy after you explain what it was.
Basically, in all these, let me make sure I get the name of the retailer right. Bloomingdale's?
No. Okay, wait. No.
Yes. And a bunch of Bloomingdale's across the country in New York, Miami.
Halt. That's what's happening now. We need to talk about what already happened. That's the damage control they're doing, is the Bloomingdale stuff. That's the damage control.
Oh, is this similar to the vending machine?
Yes.
With Poppy? Yes. Similar controversy?
Well, not the same, but it's a similar kind of vibe. So the controversy, and I didn't like look into all the details, but the controversy of this is that Base put together this like huge human claw machine for the base bags. I believe it was in California was the one they did. I don't remember. It was massive. Human claw machine. And
yeah,
they invited the public, but they also invited all these influencers. And the public was like waiting in line to do this for hours. And they'd get to the front of the line and an influencer would walk up. And the person who was like manning the claw machine would say, okay, excuse me, bring the influencer in front of the people who've been waiting in line. The influencer goes in and gets the bags that the person has been looking at, and a bunch of these people didn't get any bags because they gave all of them to the influencers who came. And like the influencers could just like roll up and they'd be like, oh, and here you go, and give them bags or let them get. And by the time a lot of these people went, there were no bags left in the vending machine.
Here's what you should have done, Base. And I hope this wasn't Shay's doing, but as a company, I think the easiest solution in retrospect, I don't know if this would, I mean, now that we know what the controversy is, I don't know what it would have been like in the brainstorming room.
Right.
But I think maybe you get the influencers there, you have them doing the claw machine,
yeah,
but you have like an influencer package for them.
Yeah.
So they're not actually taking what's in the claw machine.
Yeah.
So that the people, or sorry, don't invite the public.
Yeah.
Don't well, make or it a what public I think
they should
event.
Have done is maybe it's like a giveaway type thing where like people could have entered to to go, you know, and you have to be local and then like you could go, or you just need to make sure that you're going to have enough supplies for everyone who's going to show up and wait. And if people have been waiting in line all day and like they're being usurped by these influencers who are being given bags for free anyway, like that's a lot of what it was also with like the vending machine kind of thing for Poppy, where it's like, well, these influencers don't need the Poppy vending machine. They're not even hosting Super Bowl parties. They're going somewhere else.
Right.
So, like, go put those places that like it could actually be of use to people. I think that was a similar
and have
idea.
The influencer deliver them.
Right. Like, I think it's this idea, and we're seeing this a lot. So Base course corrected, and they're putting a bunch of these claw machines in Bloomingdale's around the country. But I believe it's not a human claw machine now. I believe it's like,
it's not.
Okay.
It's like, can a you real
read the
one.
Do you have the caption?
Yes. So they posted after all of this controversy that I missed 4 days ago, they posted that they would have the Base claw machine, not a human claw machine though, this weekend. We're popping up in Bloomingdale's across the nation, in New York, Miami, Long Island, which is New York, pick a different fucking city, Chicago, and Los Angeles this whole weekend.
Yeah.
And it's a claw machine, no harness, no luggage, unless you snag a grand prize, but sweet prizes and best-selling Base picks. And it's like,
and they're doing number of wristbands, right? Is that what it says?
Clearly, they're like, yes, first come, first serve. You'll be issued a numbered wristband to participate upon arrival.
Yeah.
Upon arrival, prize is not guaranteed.
Yeah.
They're being much more clear about what to expect. And then we see videos of the claw machine.
It's a shame because what a cool idea.
Yeah. And it just didn't have to. And then when you see the claw machine, let me get a better.
So I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's smaller stuff and it's in the shape of a suitcase.
Oh, cute. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I wonder if there will be like certain things in there that you could get out and it would be like, oh, here's you can redeem this for like the full size suitcase or something. So yeah, so it's just interesting, but there was, that's actually, I'm sorry not to like rag on you, but that is so fucking funny. I think that Phoebe was like, hey, can you like look into this, do a little research on the baseball thing, and not her missing the entire controversy. But people are pretty happy about the course correction. People are like, this is the right way to do it.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just.
Maybe Southwest could take some notes instead of commenting back at people who are complaining snide remarks and then deleting them.
No way. They are?
Yeah.
They're responding with snide remarks?
This was like right after. When they posted that thing that said, it's not like we traded Luka. Do you remember when that happened with the basketball team?
Oh, yeah.
It was like a big thing. The teams traded. It was a shocking trade and people were really betrayed and upset. And so Southwest said, it's not like we traded Luka, and then explained the policy in the carousel. And all these comments were really upset.
That's shocking.
Someone was like, you should offer one bag free XYZ. And then they responded, we are, if you're an A-list preferred or A-list member or something.
God.
Like they like all, and they're like all these snide. And I'm like, this is, are you crazy? Hospitality. You're going to cite hospitality as one of your like, that's what brings people to your airline. Now you're acting like it hasn't been the free bags and the no assigned seating.
Right.
And now you're going to act like this in the comments. I saw a TED talk of like a brand person talking about this, and they were like, they just kept botching it and putting the CEO on and saying that this was for profitability. That's never going to be a reason a customer wants to
we don't care
you. Because hey, that's we don't not care. Our issue.
yeah. We don't care about
and
your profitability.
You need, if this was going to be a change you were going to make, you needed to have a why that made sense to us.
Yeah.
We're doing this so that we can afford to do this for you.
Yep.
And they just missed the mark.
Yes.
So completely. Good job, Base, and not doing that. And not getting.
Thank God, Shay.
Not getting animated.
We can't have Shay Mitchell
thank God,
being canceled.
Thank
not
God
on our
a
watch.
Different pretty. Thank God a different Pretty Little Liars cast member is not the one in charge of this brand.
So true. So true. Okay, let's talk about Good Hang, Amy Poehler's new podcast. I mean, I'm not kidding you guys. Best thing that's happened to me in months. Like, I was listening to it. I was like, can I slow this down? I want this to last forever.
Especially the beginning part of that first episode. That was so quick.
Guys, if you haven't listened, so Amy Poehler is doing this podcast and she's like, listen, I'm not giving you advice. I don't really care if you get better. I'm not like this. This is just, I just want to have a really good hang. And that's what the theme song is. And she's, going to have like her friends on the show. So she's two episodes out. We've got Tina Fey and Martin Short. Both are obviously incredible. But she starts the episode by calling in people that know them both just to talk about the person and like give me some questions to ask them. But it's really just sort of to like talk about them when they're not in the room, which is a very fun concept. We obviously love. And so she starts the first one. And I mean, I was laughing so hard. She's got all these old SNL alum members, and Rachel Dratch is one of them. And she's getting on. She's like late. Her headphones are tangled. Then the doorbell rings. The dogs start going insane. First, she ordered food.
And she can't stop laughing. When she gets on the chat, Seth Meyers goes, Dratch is in for the fucking pitch black, of course. It's so her to get on a call, say that she's ready, and then be moving her computer to where she's actually going to set up, and her headphones aren't working, and then she finally settles.
And the doorbell rings.
It's like this is scripted. The doorbell rings, and they're all like, oh, surely that's like the mailman
they're
or
like,
someone
who wouldn't like, I
have scheduled to have come here. Oh, sorry, I ordered food.
They are laughing so hard, and I'm like, I just need a track to fall asleep to that's just all of these people laughing together. And they're not, it's like when you and I laugh and we don't talk for like 30 seconds, but this was like that on steroids.
Listening to that felt like when we would like listen to Lainey, Lainey, Sean, and Mom like laugh all together, and we're not in on the joke, but there's not even really a joke.
You
and
can't help but laugh with them. Yeah.
Yes, they get into that like wheezing laughter over something that like didn't even like happen, something that they thought of. I don't know.
It's wheezing laughter, the silent laughter. And then what's so great is like you've got Seth Meyers and Fred Armisen, who are pretty like their whole thing is they don't really laugh, like they don't really, but they kind of like, you know, have like mm-hmm. Seth has like a knowing smile, but they can't. And so when you hear them start laughing so hard, and finally when Fred Armisen like cracks and starts laughing and you hear it, and I wasn't watching, I was just listening, and it was just like, it felt like blankets. Like I was just like, this is the best. When I need to be in a good mood, I need to listen to this because I love these people, and hearing them laugh like this together is so fun. And then they have Tina come on, and she and Tina, the way they talk to each other, I mean, they have been working together for over 30 years, which is crazy. They have known each other longer than I've known you. Oh, my God. Ugh. Which feels unfair.
Longer than you will.
Okay, don't ever say that again, you fucking psycho. What does that mean? Which one of us is a goner? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Maybe both. But anyway.
Keep talking. I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, great. Okay. But
I'm in my Pat era.
I guess you are. She's running. You know what? And my day's better because I got to see Phoebe running to the bathroom on Zoom. Anyway, they talk to each other. I didn't want to be like, oh, everything's about me and Phoebe, but it did make me feel like they talk to each other the way me and Phoebe talk, because they actually can say anything to each other and they're not going to be offended. They're going to get that it's all for a laugh. Like, they're great at yes-anding each other, which is something Phoebe and I could probably work on. We could take some notes, but whatever. Oh, she's yelling something. I really mean more so me, you stupid bitch. Anyway. Well, maybe she's yelling because there's no toilet paper. I don't actually know, and I might never know. Anyway, okay. But yeah, it was just so funny the way they talk to each other and the way they talk about their like other people that they've both worked with and love. Like, it just, oh, she's back. Okay, it was a number one. I mean, number two. Wait, what's a number one? It was a number one. Oh, she's dancing. She's dancing and she's not wearing a bra. I'm just kidding. She's wearing three bras. Phoebe, we get it. You want it. You wish you had boobs bigger than me, but that's never going to happen, okay? I mean, Amy and Tina are so fun to listen to, and they're so inspiring. And they're just like, I loved Tina talking about how she's working on this show. And she's like, well, I like handpicked everybody on the set. And that's something that's it's a huge privilege to get to do. But she's like, God, it makes a difference when everybody there is like a good fucking person. And
right.
I just love them. I love them both so much. And then the Martin Short episode had me.
I haven't listened to that one yet.
Oh, Phoebe, there's this one part I love Martin Short. I think he is so funny. They are so funny together. They're talking about SNL COVID And Amy's like, oh yeah, like everybody got SNL COVID. And he's like, oh yeah, everyone got it. I got it. Mike Myers got it. Meryl got it. And Amy's like, oh my, but you know, I was in a scene with Meryl. I was sitting next to Mike. And Martin goes, yeah, I know, you got nothing. The way he says it is like, it's something you would love to have. Yeah, I know, you got nothing. And it was just hilarious, like about having SNL COVID. Yeah, I know, you got nothing. He just made me laugh so hard. He was talking about Selena Gomez. He was like, I was really expecting to like be annoyed with her. I was like, oh, Steve is going to hate her. She's going to be late. She'll be late. And she'll be blah, 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 blah. And he was like, Steve is just going to hate her. And then he's like, well, Selena's never been a second late. And she is a total pro. She is the kindest person. She's so great.
That
she's
Disney just, training.
I mean, yeah. He just went on and on about how amazing Selena is to work good. With. Which
That's
is
so
really
good
sweet.
To hear because yeah. I feel like sometimes it's hard with her at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think
like sometimes she's yeah, tough. Yeah. So hearing that these pros, like these yes. AAA listers,
yes.
love her
mm-hmm.
is really reassuring.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one thing, I think it was actually, I don't remember who it was, but I think Amy said it. She was like, I was talking to Steve, and I was like, Steve, you were so great on Fallon. Like, I saw you on Fallon, great job. And Steve goes, well, you know, you have to kill every time. And
oh, yeah,
she was like,
I remember that.
Wow, that is so true. And it's not true for everybody, but if you are like at all in the comedy space, it's true. And Martin Short had a really great line later where he talks kind of about that. And he was like, I've realized that like, I don't really get to have a bad day. And so when I am having a bad day, but I'm still going to set, I need to now perform as the best version of myself. And he's mm-hmm. like, when I go on those talk shows, like you just need to perform as the best version of yourself, telling the best story you got at a dinner party and just do right. that. And then it will be over. But like, he's like, that I think is one of the most valuable lessons you can have is like, you have to show up as the best version of yourself, even if you don't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. I just absolutely loved it. If you haven't watched or listened, you absolutely must. It's amazing.
I also just love podcasts like that where they're like creative people talking
yes.
shop. Like
and they
it's
both
so nice.
Hearing Tina,
it makes you like. It's honestly like in 30 years, what I hope that Seek Treatment is still around, and I hope that Kat and Pat are like yeah. at points in their career where that it, the conversation sounds like they always talk about writing a TV show together, and I really want them to.
I would
like,
love
I
it
want,
if they did.
I think it would be amazing. And yeah. I get the same feeling listening to their podcast mm-hmm. as I do listening to Tina and Amy talk.
I also feel like that about Lost Cult, where it's just listening yes. to creative, like-minded people who are inspiring and inspired. And like, it's just great. They're just good people. And it was great to hear Tina and Amy talk about how they both listened to Lost Cult. I was like, that is yeah. so cool. Like, what a dream, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know. It's just, it's like
something that they could have never dreamed of when they started the podcast.
I mean, never, never. And it's just so neat and it's so amazing. And I love it. So anyway, some good news is that Amy Poehler's new podcast is everything we always dreamt it would be. I meant yes. to talk about this last week, Phoebe. And I have
Caroline sent me a text like seconds after we closed the recording. In a panic.
I was so pissed.
And I have no idea what she's talking about.
Did you listen to Millie Bobby Brown on Call Her Daddy?
No.
Okay. I did. And a couple things.
I haven't listened to Ellen Pompeo either. And actually, I do want to talk about Ellen Pompeo after this.
Okay.
I didn't add it to the agenda.
Ellen is great on Call Her Daddy as well. It's so cute because she walks in and she's like, well, my daughter is a huge Call Her Daddy fan.
I saw that clip.
Yeah, and so her daughter, they were driving in the car together, and Ellen Pompeo, like, her daughter was holding her phone, and she was driving, and she got an email from her agent, and she was like, oh, just will you read it to me? And so her daughter reads out loud and is like, oh my God, you got invited to be on Call Her Daddy. Mom, you're doing this. Mom, you are doing this. And she was like, okay, respond and tell them I'll do it. And so like she literally did it because her daughter thought, and then her daughter goes with her, which is so neat.
Aww.
And like they're all three of them are there together. And I just thought it was so cool. But she was like, Mom, she watches Grey's Anatomy. Like you have got to go on. She loves you. She loves Grey's Anatomy. And she listens to everything. I'm like, that's so cute. But
imagine your mom being Meredith Grey.
I can't. You'll love the episode. You got to listen. She was cracking me up with all of her shit where she's like,
her.
Anytime there were scenes where they're like, Meredith's going to do this or this. And I'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, she was like, everyone was like, I don't want to do that. But like, Meredith would do it, so I will. But like, the pick me, choose me, love me line, Meredith says she didn't, or Ellen says she didn't want to say that. She was like, I don't want to say that. Like, are you serious? That is so weak. Like, I don't want to say
and
that.
And she sold it.
And then she said that Shonda was like, just trust me on this, okay? Like, it's, I know that this and line is going to be, yeah. So anyway, it's just interesting. But Millie.
Did you see the TikTok they did of her walking?
Yes. Oh, it's like, so good. Like the crazy Meredith yes. Grey walk. Yeah. So Millie Bobby Brown on Call Her Daddy. First of all, I didn't know that I was just going to absolutely fall in love with Millie. But like, love her. I didn't really know much about her as a person. She's fun and funny. And she also is a huge Call Her Daddy fan. She says she's listened to every single episode, which is like really cute when a fan is on the show. And so she was like, I'm yes. so excited to
probably
be
so
here.
Cool,
like,
for Alex.
Oh my God. I know. Like, she was just, and it felt like they had been friends for years. Like, I don't know if you also saw like the videos.
That
they did,
is
like, the
one
promo
of Alex's
videos.
Superpowers, I think. Like, and I know that people like recently have their qualms with Alex right now and unwell and all this stuff. And some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. But I do like people oftentimes comment on her interviewing style.
Yeah.
And like talk down about it. And I'm like, I know she's not a fucking journalist, mm-hmm. but like there is something to be said for the way that she has conversations yeah. with people. Clearly it's working. Clearly it's doing something.
And I think when you are someone like her, who her whole existence and job is to be unfiltered and unapologetically herself and just talking on a microphone and now building this brand, at some point, yeah, there are going to be things she does that we don't agree with and that like we don't think are right because she's being true to her brand. So like, it's like mm-hmm. if she's being true to her brand, then she's bound to have controversy because it's who she is. So it's like, I think, and also at this point, like, she's been in the media for however long, we're bound to see some, but I think she'll come out on top. I really do. I don't think that there's anything that's like so bad that she would be canceled at
no,
this point.
No.
But in terms of the fatigue and some business choices people aren't liking, but like, I mean, that's why the conversation with her and Ellen Pompeo was really powerful too, because Ellen's like, it's okay to fucking ask for money as a woman. And like, that's what mm-hmm. I think Alex is like, you know, when the number of my first deal got leaked, I was like, everything's over now. Like, and they said, I think someone said to Ellen, you need to be prepared for people not to be happy for you. When Ellen got her $20 million salary and mm-hmm. she fought for it and it came out, Ellen was like, why would I be worried? And I think it was like her publicist who was like, well, you need to be prepared for people to not be happy for you. And Ellen was like, that hadn't even crossed my mind. Like, why would somebody not be happy for me?
But and why would anybody really care right. about someone else's salary right. like that?
So that's, I think, what Alex is going to start seeing.
Also, I think Alex has become, it's kind of like, she's kind of like the Taylor Swift of the podcasting space
yeah,
in a way
totally.
Of like, now it's kind of cool to not
yes.
like her.
Yes.
And so it's cool to be on Sophia's side from yeah. drama that happened like fucking 5 years ago. So people are commenting on all the Call Her Daddy stuff. Like,
yeah.
man, Sophia really will like, Sophia will win. And it's like, I don't
okay.
know. I think that
time
has shown that Alex made the right business decision.
I mean,
there.
At this point too, it's like, if Sophia's going to win and if we're going to define winning as being more successful than Alex Cooper, then she better get cracking, you know, because the thing is, Alex has a full ass empire and I don't know that Sophia does. So if she's gonna win, I expect to see some crazy moves in the next few years. You know, if she's gonna have to like surpass Alex Cooper, you better get started. Like, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
The Millie interview though, she and Alex though, more so than other guests, seemed like best friends. Like, they did this Aww. Thing at the end where they released something like a promo for the episode and it's them on photo booth and it's both of them. And then Alex goes, you may say I'm a dreamer. And Millie goes, oh, you bitch. You bitch. And like, they just have this like funny little moment. I was like,
I feel like
cute.
That might be something that comes from like podcasting. Like when you like, I feel like I would be so nervous to meet Bowen and Matt or Kat.
Oh my
Pat.
God. Yeah.
But I do think that once we got into a groove, if we were to ever like do yeah. an episode with them, it would be like, at least for us, they don't
yeah.
listen to us, but like we would feel like we were just
well,
talking
they
with
might.
Our friends.
We just don't know. One day we're listening.
They're one of our
40. One day we're listening and they're like, okay, so we're listening to this podcast. We love this podcast, A Pretty Little Podcast. And so anyway, the whole, what if one day, anyway.
I fall off the treadmill.
You were tumbling down the steps of the gym.
I crack my head open.
Phoebe's dead, and I have to do the podcast by myself now. And that's what she meant when she said that Tina and Amy have known each other longer than I'm going to know Phoebe. And it all comes full circle. We cracked the case.
Yes.
So Millie on Call Her Daddy, though. They're talking. I mean, they're having this great conversation. I literally was like, I want to hang out with Millie Bobby Brown after hearing this. Did you know she lives across the street from her parents on a farm?
With her husband?
Yep. And she has 10 dogs that live inside the house. She's got a sanctuary on her property for dogs that are going to be euthanized. And she's 32 dogs there. She has goats, chickens. She's I love cooking. I'm always cooking. I'm going to get the eggs from the chickens. And we have Taco Tuesday. That's how she says it. Imagining her and a Bon Jovi having Taco Tuesday is just hilarious. But anyway, she
Millie Bobby Bon Jovi Brown.
Wait, is his name Jake? Jake Bon Jovi?
I don't know.
Okay, I think it's Jake, so I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say Jake.
It's probably got to be a J.
Yeah.
Because their JBJ is their whole thing.
True. So Jake should be I need socks. And Jake would be okay, let's go to Prada. And I'll be let's go to Target. And she's explain. It was just cute. But anyway, she's talking about their wedding and how she was obsessed with being a bride and loved planning her wedding. She's planning her sister's wedding now. It was the best time ever. And Alex is what are some of the cheesiest, most traditional wedding things you've done? And she was well, did you have a first dance? And Alex is no, we actually did a first shot. Right. And Millie's well.
I'm right. Right.
And Millie's well, we had a first dance. I told Jake you could either have me dancing down the aisle or we do a choreographed first dance. And so he chose that. So for a year, we were working on our dance and we did a 6-minute medley, Grease medley. Grease the musical.
Wait, why is this low-key fourth grade mom's dream wedding?
We had a 6-minute.
Wait, guys, famously our
Grease
mom.
Grease medley. Start with Summer Nights. And we went in through we go together, you're the one that I want. We did all of it. And everyone was obsessed. They loved it.
When she saw Grease as a fourth grader in theaters, she cried at the end because she didn't want to leave that world. She wanted to live in Greece. think about that. You know that picture that mom has of herself on her little thing at the bottom of the stairs in the attic?
Yes, I know exactly the picture.
And she's holding that doll. Imagine that girl going to see
Shut
Greece
up, Phoebe.
And
Why are
crying
you doing
and crying because she wants to live in Greece.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I felt about 10 things I hate about you. But I was in eighth grade. Kind of, it's kind less
of,
cute.
Kind of different.
I don't know why, but okay. Anyway.
Because I knew you.
Right. So anyway, I'm sorry. How fucking funny is that? Meanwhile, she was people loved it. It was their favorite thing about the wedding was this 6-minute Grease medley we did. And she's and we we're both Jake's an actor, I'm an actor. We performed it. We literally rehearsed it every day for a year with a choreographer. And it was we didn't miss a step. It was perfect.
Maybe I should do that at my wedding. Let's think. What musical?
Catch
Cabaret?
Me if you can. Okay, a mashup of both. Perfect.
All my favorite musicals.
Perfect.
My spouse gets no input.
Phoebe walks out for the first dance and goes, Willkommen, bienvenue.
I'm in an outfit you guys could never expect.
She's literally got, for some reason, she took this very seriously. She's drawn on bruises and track marks on her body because that's the whole vibe of Cabaret. We're the whole place transforms into the Kit Kat Club. Alan Cumming officiates the wedding, which that part we knew. That part we knew would happen, but everything
guys,
else is a
okay,
surprise.
Wait, guys, bucket list. We need to get famous enough that I can get Alan Cumming to officiate my wedding.
You guys heard it. You guys heard it. If we could please,
guys, I'm
hey,
putting
Mr.
that
Cumming,
into the universe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Hey, ask for it and you shall receive. Close mouths, don't get fed. He never
you
would officiate.
Because you ask not.
Fee, he never would have officiated your wedding if you didn't just say it. So you're one step closer for sure. And you should be excited. Right. You should feel excited about that. Anyway, I think it's so funny. Can you imagine Why Greece? Imagine Millie Bobby Brown. You didn't give this enough, like, you didn't laugh enough at this. I've been waiting to talk about this for a week, and you're like, oh, cool. No, like, I'm sorry. That's hilarious. That it she is. Did a six-minute awesome. Greece medley. It's not even awesome. It's like, what? Like, I saw your wedding, Millie Bobby Brown. You had the most gorgeous, luxurious, like, Vogue-esque wedding it. I've ever seen, but your first dance was a Grease medley with a Bon Jovi, and I'm
that's
like,
that's epic.
I had a strict rule, no performances at my wedding, but when I think about it, with people, their favorite part of the wedding was the performance, was Lean On Me. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, they were like, that was so fun, and I'm like, you know, there is something to be said for, like, that's every day, but for the people who are going to your wedding, a show like that is so exciting and fun for them that, like, they actually love it.
I'm going to have to choreograph something similar to your wedding and have the power go off or something.
You're going to have and this to time
to one up
that,
your wedding, yeah. to one oh, up your wedding. I'm going to have Clyde and Addie in the rafters of the venue the whole time.
They're not invited.
No one's going to know. No, they are invited, but they RSVP and you're like, whoa, that's weird. That's weird.
Why
they
would
RSVP
I say that? I'm not
no.
getting your RSVPs, Phoebe. I'm not planning your wedding. Don't even
no,
because
I tell
this.
You. Because I tell you.
And I text
wow,
him like, guys, by the way, it is Clyde's birthday and I haven't texted him yet because I've been doing this all day. So Clyde, I'm getting to it.
happy birthday, Clyde. They're suspended up there the whole time and nobody knows. And then the power goes out. And then a disco ball comes down and it starts there's light. And then, and then on either side of the disco ball, Clyde and Addie come down.
They're suspended
in midair.
Sort of like, did you guys hear about the base claw, the base human claw machine?
Yes.
It's sort of like
so
that.
So there's a track up there also so that they're now rotating along with the mirror ball. And they are performing a song of their choosing. Don't care what.
Okay.
A cappella.
I was saying Chandelier and by Sia, but.
I don't really want that.
Well, you
I
said
get final
they get
say,
to
but they get to.
I
no, they
it was
get
a
to choose. But I have to sign off.
God,
on
you
it.
Are honestly a bridezilla. You're giving bridezilla. I'm not gonna lie.
So yeah, that's kind of what's gonna happen at my wedding, and then Alan Cumming is gonna be like, then my actual wish is that I get to sit in a chair. Everybody else has to leave, and Alan Cumming and the original cast of Cabaret right. performs "Will Commend" just for me.
Wow. I don't know how we can make that happen, but we'll certainly try. Alan coming walks in and goes, ladies and gentlemen. And everyone's like, what the fuck?
Leave your troubles outside.
In here, life is beautiful. The pride is beautiful. Anyway, that was all I wanted to say. I just thought that was like so fucking funny.
Well, I did see a video of them around the time of their wedding where she walked into this room. It was a dark room, and on the projector was the video of her as a kid singing Imagine. And it's just them laughing at it.
Oh, well, she was like she said she doesn't get embarrassed. She says she's like, I don't get embarrassed at all. Like, you can bring up anything. Like, it doesn't embarrass me. I just think it's funny.
Anytime I am like, whoa, they were so young to get married. And then I learn something about their relationship. I'm like, wait, they just found it.
Yeah,
they just
found
it out of the park, I think.
When you know, you know. They seem really sweet. She was so likable. I was like, now I want to go watch Electric State, which I had no desire to watch, but now I do. And like, but I just thought it was so funny. I was like, that is a hilarious thing to learn about her wedding. Okay. I know we're running out of time. Did you hear about the astronauts who were stuck in space for 9 months?
Of course.
And they were only supposed to be there for like a week.
Yeah.
So what were they doing? Because we know they weren't in space.
Well, here's what happened. No, Caroline, don't start this.
What, sir? What, Phoebe? Stop it. You're not true to yourself on this podcast anymore because you also know space isn't real. So what were they doing?
Well, they were in the sky.
Doing what?
9 working months? On the space station.
Okay, question. Can I ask an insane question? What did they look like before they went up? How old are they?
I think they look pretty much the same.
Okay, because I was like, did they age a million years?
Yeah, I wonder. I think in our universe, time, like in our little galaxy,
yeah,
time pretty much is the same.
Explain the concept of time in the different universes, if you don't mind. Just quickly.
Well, I know that there are universes where planets, it would like an hour here is like a million years there and vice versa. But I don't know if that happens in our solar system.
No, it does. Light years.
I know, but that's I don't know if that happens in our solar system.
It does.
It happens in space.
Light years happen in our solar system, yes. When you are traveling out to the solar system.
Who's fake now? Who's fake now?
Well, light years doesn't mean space is real. Light years is just what happens in the sky. At a certain point, you start getting into light years or something. Whatever. I just think it's basically crazy. They were up there 9 months.
I think the International Space Station is like slightly above where satellites orbit. So they're not that far from where we are.
Oh. So
they're not like going to the moon or another planet.
Okay.
And it orbits. It's in our orbit.
So why were they up there so long? What happened?
They went up and then there was an issue with the rocket or whatever ship was going to take them back down.
Oh my God.
So they got to the space station and then they couldn't get back down. And then it just became this thing. It wasn't that we couldn't get them down. They could have left, I believe. But there was just, there's always stuff to do up there.
They fell in love.
And astronauts, no, they both have families.
Ah, well. Which
I am a little bit like, you guys were a little willing to stay up
there. That's what I'm saying. Like,
not that you, I mean, but they were stuck. It's a little confusing the way that people talk about it. Like, they were stuck. But there were other ship crews coming up and going back, and it just happened that they were always the ones staying. I think it's because the way that they organize it, it's like a ship can only take a certain number of people back, and it's probably a lot of paperwork to figure out who's coming back when and all this stuff. So if their ship that was supposed to take them back wasn't working, they were probably last. And apparently, I watched an interview with this person who when they got returned, and they were like, astronauts, I mean, we want to stay in space as long as we can. Like, that's what we love. So
that's they were insane. Up there working. That's
they were
crazy.
Up there like doing shit. Well, they did a bunch of spacewalks and all this stuff and then they came back down.
I did think they were just in that little thing for 9 months.
No. Did you see the
them landing?
I also
yes.
Initially when the story broke, I did think that
they were like lost it was in just space them for 9 months. I thought they were fully lost in space for 9 months.
And I thought it was just them. I didn't realize they were like interacting with other people. And then the crew gets up there and I'm like, well, there's a trillion people in space right now. But then did you see the dolphins that greeted them when they landed?
No, I just saw them go down. Literally,
the thing goes down and then there's like this pod of dolphins that keep
dolphins.
Circling.
A pod of dolphins. Dolphin. dolphin. Bill, y'all. No, that's neat.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for explaining that to me. All right.
I don't know if I did a very good job.
Well, we'll find out, that's for sure. Why don't we go into our rotations? You're on Dream.
Yeah. First is Amanda Seyfried. Seyfried. Because of her little Vogue makeup tutorial that she did. I didn't even watch the whole thing, but I think she's so pleasant. She's so enjoyable to listen to speak and just like...
She is. She's got a very calming vibe.
Yeah, she's great. And also, she, like, with no fear, complete bare face, close to the camera.
Yeah.
Showing us her skin routine, being honest about her eczema. And also, like, it's clear she hasn't had that much work done, if any. Like, she has she's not aged very naturally. And I just think, and she looks beautiful.
You know what I want to sing when I look at her in that video? What would it be like to grow up that beautiful with your hair falling into place like dominoes? For real. That's her. Yeah, I just reposted on TikTok the clip where she's like, look, I do have great hair. But I also have eczema. So, and I was like, retweet because me too.
Yeah, I just think it's a really positive thing. And I think that like Reese Witherspoon is a good example. I think everybody on the White Lotus is pretty, like, I just think that a natural look is coming back. And I'm curious to see what happens to people with veneers.
I'm fucked with all the work I've had done.
You know what I mean? As veneers go out.
Yeah.
Because like it's not even
well,
like
they don't
people,
have tape.
I know that... That's what I'm saying.
Take them off. Okay. If you got veneers a little too hastily, your punishment is you have to take them off and just have your normal ass teeth. Your little jagged little teeth. Like,
good
guys,
luck.
Do you know what it looks like underneath those?
Scary.
Not good.
It's not good.
Also, like, veneers only last like 15 years. So in theory, you need to get them redone. And they're so expensive. Like, do these young stars really think that through? You know?
And I just think they're going to be... I think they're going to be out. I think people are kind of tired of the look of it. Not going to lend itself. Wasn't it Tina Fey that you said something about, like, if you're an actor, you shouldn't get any work done?
I don't know if it was her, but someone was just like, I just think if you have, like, veneers, if you have lip filler and, like, filler in your face, then, like, you're going to have a hard time getting cast. Because in anything that's not contemporary, it's immediately like clocked it.
Also, above that, you guys are all starting to look the same.
Yeah.
It's doing the same thing to your face. And you can't do as much with your face.
Well, and oftentimes, like, it doesn't look good is the other thing. Like, the veneers, like, the filler, it's all, like, a little bit too much because you go blind. Like, it's, like, they say you get, like, blonde blindness, which I definitely feel like I have sometimes where I'm, like, I don't feel like I look blonde like I want to look. And then Kelly's, like, you are, like, very blonde. So I just think sometimes, like, every time you go back, you're, like, I'll do more. Like, you know, and people start doing that, but they start so young that it's just, like, by the time they're 30, they look so old, too. And it's...
And I just think we should look at people like Amanda Seyfried, Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon. I mean, I know these people have probably all gotten some kind of work done, but they've done it in a way where they still look like themselves.
Well, and I think there's and a big difference between, because the thing is, what Lindsay Lohan did, I think she looks amazing. I would never tell her to do it. So, like, the thing is, I think it's also, like, if you're going to get work done, I urge you to be very diligent about, like, who you choose to go to and, like, like, just because you're getting a bargain doesn't mean that that's actually a good place to go get someone to put needles in your face. Or really think about it and be like, you know, do I actually think that I'm going to want to continue to do this? Because, like, I don't know. I think getting some work done is fine. Like, do what's going to make you feel good in your skin and do what makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, if you're doing it because you're trying to fit this, like, unattainable definition of what it is to be attractive in 2025, then, like, we know that things go out of style. So I just wouldn't be trying to do,
that's another thing.
Like, the veneers are very in, but, like, that they're gonna be out. And then people who have veneers, like, some of the things you're doing are actually irreversible, so you should think about that before you do
it. But I've just been trying to get more into a headspace of, like, any wrinkles are a gift.
And
we're like we are very lucky that we get to live into aging. I'm 24, but
turning 30 soon, I'm not really feeling that way right now. I'm like, get the wrinkles away, get, I want the anti-aging.
I just try to remind myself, like, wrinkles are a sign of emotion and laughing.
Okay,
and
Ariana Grande.
Did she say that?
Yeah. She was like, I'm proud of every new line on my face that I have because that's a joke or that's a blah, blah, blah. When she was like talking about, like, reversing all her work. Yeah.
That's how I feel. Yeah. That's how I'm trying to feel. Yeah. I'm trying to put that out there so that I feel that way when I look in the mirror. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I get it. I get it very much. Yeah.
But, okay, so Amanda, and I just think seeing the comments on Amanda's side, it's like there's clearly a need and a want from the public to have people looking like they should.
Well, you know, it's like, also real. Like, it is exhausting to constantly be scrolling.
What's the next thing that I have to think about,
like,
what I have
to
do to
myself? All I'm doing is looking at people who I think look better than me. And the thing is, that's not how they actually look. And that's the thing, is it's like that, like, unattainable, like, level of beauty that we think we have to get. And it's like, there's a reason you can't get it naturally. You know, it's because it's
not how we
look.
Hasn't anybody watched The Substance?
Did you guys see The Substance? Film that kind of approaches this topic. You should only check it out. Also, Freaky Friday.
Well, yes, coming
kind
back.
Okay, The Substance kind of ripped off Freaky Friday.
And speak on it.
And I'm going to speak on that next, but let's finish your rotation.
And then it's just, I always, whenever I, like, write Amy Poehler's name down or go to make a note about something Amy Poehler did for this, I write Leslie. Every time.
Why?
Leslie Knope.
Oh, I was like, that's insane.
Imagine if she never played someone
named
Leslie.
No, literally, I was like, you're just pulling this name out of thin air. Like, okay, we hated Leslie Stone on Pretty Little Liars. Let's not forget, we hated Leslie Stone. Okay.
Leslie with an I,
Leslie
or with an
I.
Who knows?
Oh, no.
On a day.
Wait, did
and so it's Amy Poehler and everybody on that pod. Okay. That's the rest of my rotation.
But so you only had two specific people?
Well, Amy Poehler, but I can't pick.
No, I'm just confirming
that
I didn't
miss Zoom room
here.
No.
It was her,
Amanda Seyfried, and then like, all those people.
Right. All those people. Okay, well, all right.
On the podcast,
no,
Rachel
Dratch.
She's been on the podcast
about,
before.
Yeah, Seth on our Myers, podcast. Yes, we know. There was one hilarious joke that Fred did to Martin Short where they were at SNL 50 or whatever. And Martin Short like is speaking to Paul McCartney and like goes away or whatever. And Fred Armisen later on is like, hey, great job. But why did you call him Tony McCartney? And Martin Short was like,
just to psych him out.
Martin Short was like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah, you called him Tony. Why did you call him Tony? And Martin Short is like, oh my God. And like Fred didn't know that Marty didn't know he was joking. So like they didn't, whatever. So it's like days later and Martin like says it to somebody. He's like, God, like I'm such a dunce. Like I called him Tony McCartney. And Fred had to like text Martin and be like, hey, I heard you're like still thinking about this. Like I was joking. You did not call him Tony. He talked about Fred Armisen so much. He also said that there would be times you're like, you walk by Fred Armisen's dressing room and Fred's like sitting there on his phone. And then you go in and be like, hey, Fred. And he go, he just starts snoring and pretend to be asleep. It's just like so funny. Anyway,
that is so funny.
My rotation. Okay, first up, I'm going to put Phoebe Connell. And here's why. The main reason is because I wanted to talk about Severance with her, and she's not watching the penultimate episode and the final episode of season two until a week from now, which is pissing me off. It's annoying.
From now, 4 days, three sleeps.
That's still too much. It's annoying. You're annoying me with that. Okay, so that's first. Next up is going to be Grant from Temptation Island, because now
we didn't even talk about Temptation Island.
I know. We didn't get to it. We need to discuss it at some point, but they're now allowed to speak online and they are doing so. And so they're all going live like absolutely all the time. And Natalie and Ashley are like going live together. And we found out that when they left the island, Grant and Natalie were dating and he cheated on Natalie with Ashley.
And Ashley didn't know that they were dating?
I guess he told Ashley they weren't together or whatever. And so then they hook up and then he goes back to Natalie. Natalie's like, I'm done, like breaks up with him. And now Ashley's done too, but she's not. She's so manipulated by him. He publishes all these screenshots of texts of Ashley being like, I love you. And he's like, see, look, like whatever, like it's horrible. He calls her while she is on live with Natalie and starts screaming at her. And she's on live and everyone hears
it. Does
he
know?
Yes, he knew she was on live. You need to go watch it. It's on TikTok. Then I saw
another. Is that what you sent me in Amber?
Yes. I sent you two because there's another live where Kay says, well, Tyler and I didn't even get off the island. I never plan on dating him after the show. I never plan on being with him after. And I was like, then why did you just like, I mean, honestly, I'm ruined glad Taylor's out of there. But together. Like, I'm like, but then okay.
Especially like, the way he acted in the end. I was like, you're such an asshole.
But like, I'm kind of glad he didn't get the girl in the end. Like, I'm glad he like got fucked. But like, it does make me kind of like annoyed with Kay low-key. Because I'm just like, I know that was like your role on the show. She's like a super fan of the show also. She's like a huge love. Well, it's just like,
why
would you?
Why? Like, there were a lot of girls in there that clearly, like the girl that Lino brought on his date. It's like, clearly, some of these girls did have the guy's best interest.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, and I can't remember her name right now, but the girl that...
Amaya,
yeah, who Brianna was like, get out. Like, it was like shitty to her when she was like, wait, you had a threesome? I think you're a bad guy now. Yeah. Like, Grant's a piece of shit. All the guys are pieces of shit, but especially Grant. And like, hearing him yelling at Ashley, I'm like, this poor fucking girl. Like, just disgusting. So he's next. And then finally, I'm going to put Forever 21, but not because like I hate them, but because they are closing. They're going bankrupt. What an end of an era, honestly, that Forever 21 is no more. And what I will say is every single piece of clothing I've ever purchased from Forever 21 was a wear once and throw away. Okay. And so that's not a sustainable business model. Sorry, guys. It's just not. And no one will always be 21. And nobody should be dressing like they're 21 when they're not. And even 21-year-olds really shouldn't be dressing like how you think 21-year-olds should be dressing, okay? There I said it.
It is an end of an era, though.
It's kind of crazy. I'm kind of stunned and shocked that they couldn't keep it together.
My kids are never going to know what Forever 21 is.
I know, because I used to love, like, I'd be like, if I have $12 to my name, I can get a whole outfit at Forever 21, and I can go to school tomorrow looking fresh as fuck. You know, that was, like, the vibe. And I remember doing that quite often because Dad worked in the waterfront, so we'd like go on Sundays, and then that was
the only Forever 21
and we would go in, and it was just
I loved that office and that movie theater,
so fun. Southside used to be so popping, and it's just not now.
I know, and it's so funny that like that was always, to me, that was Southside, and then when you get older, Southside is
Carson Street, and it's like, oh, totally different vibe.
It's like,
vibe.
Wait, these connect. If I walk far enough, I'm gonna reach the Cheesecake Factory.
So, and that's enough to keep me going, okay? all right, guys, that's the end of my rotation. I'm just putting Forever 21 on there, and I don't even know if they belong there, but right now they do. Right now
the
they just
end
do.
Of Forever 21,
the end
maybe.
Of Forever 21, end of an era. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you're watching Temptation Island, let us know. If you're not watching, you need to start. It's the one on Netflix, the new one. And if you want to hear us talk about it next week, let us know, because we didn't get too into it today. But I have a feeling a lot of drama is going to come out over this next week, because they're all allowed to talk and they are all.
I wish it was a little bit longer so that it had. Like, I feel like if the show were a few more episodes, it maybe. And I know it's different. It's hard to compare it to Love Island, because Love Island is like every day.
Five times a week.
But I do think it would have gotten a little bigger if it had a little bit, like, you had to watch a little more, maybe.
Yeah. I feel like there was. You know what I mean? Or if they'd rolled it out a little bit differently, where it gave people time. Like, if they did, like, here are your first three episodes, and then.
Yeah.
Then we're going to do, like, something like that. They also, there was, like, no promo for it, I felt like. I didn't see, like, any promotion of this. But they're officially not having a reunion. And so a lot of the people are like, well, we're going to come out on here on social media and tell you
why
what's
wouldn't
happened
they have
since.
A reunion.
I don't know. But that's like Natalie said, we're not having a reunion. So we're all coming on social media and we're going to tell you what's been happening since on social. So that is a reason to go down the rabbit hole, because they are living on live and we have so many videos and it's just great.
Love it.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. We love you so much. Go listen to our Pretty Little Punch Bowl episode from Friday. We did Pretty Little Liars and Taylor Swift. We are doing the pilot of Girls this weekend for Honorary Connell Sisters, so don't miss that. And, of course, on Thursday, our recap of Season 6, Episode 18 of Pretty Little Liars. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. Please go leave us a 5-star review. We love you so much, and we will see you next week.
And splat.
Your Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent is there to help guide you through each step of the insurance process.
Yeah, my agent's awesome. Jeff gives great advice, helps me figure things out. He's kind of like a dad to me.
Aw, that's great. Your agent
He's just got such a dad vibe, you know?
Sure. And your agent can...
I kind of want to get him a tie. I wish there was like an insurance agent's day or something, you know, because he's not really my dad.
Get to know an Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent, and you'll never have to go it alone. Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Let's insurance together.